Let us pray.
Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. In your sight, Lord, straight from you to us. Nobody loves us like you do. And no one knows our needs like you do. So we're here to honor you and ask you to fulfill our needs and bless each and every one as you speak to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. There's an incredible quote found in Testimonies to Ministers, page 1. It says this: when the books of Daniel and Revelation are better understood, believers will have an entirely different religious experience. I'm going to repeat that, but before I do, I want to tell you this. And it's okay. I'm okay. Some have wondered why Pastor Ryan and I focus so much on prophecy. And we had a Daniel seminar, and right now for our prayer meeting, we're doing a Revelation seminar. And we got a good group coming, participating. And the lessons are very interesting. I'll show you that in a second. But I'm going to read this again. When the books of Daniel and Revelation are better understood. Remember, better understood. Not when they're read, when they're talked about, but when they're better understood. Believers will have an entirely different religious experience. And I'm going to illustrate that for you today. For you see, on Tuesday evenings, I go to Teen Challenge. It's a treatment center here in town based on the Bible. And the leader of that group, I guess, has gone online and seen our worship service, called me and said, I want you to come and I want you to meet with the guys on Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock and have worship. I said, you know, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. He said, yeah, just be careful. But yeah, we'd like you to do that. But on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, three of the guys that have graduated from the program and now stayed to work there came to me and said, would you have a Bible study with us? So we just went through the book of Daniel. And I'm telling you, if you could see their eyes, their face, their minds working, it's incredible. Well, we started Revelation. And here's what happened to me. So I want you to keep David, Michael, and Robert in your prayers. For we've already gone over the whole book of Daniel. And now we're on chapter 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation. But here's what happened Tuesday night for chapter 1. What is the truthfulness of this statement? When the books of Daniel and Revelation are better understood, believers will have an entirely different religious experience. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Revelation chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 1, 2, and 3 to get started. Remember, the point of this is to test out that phrase and for me to share a personal testimony of how it happened to me. Okay, Revelation, children, I want you to open your Bibles. If you don't have one, you see me, I get you one. Open it up, follow along. We're going to read the first three verses, but we're going to read the whole chapter ultimately. Okay? Revelation 1, 1, 2, 3. I figured you're all there because the last book of the Bible, that's simple to find. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, that's us, things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by the angel to his servant John, who bore witness of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and knows, who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Now let's just look at a couple points here. First of all, it is very clear that the book of Revelation is the revelation of who? Jesus Christ. So, what is the book of Revelation and the prophecies all about? Come on. Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, I'm making a big deal out of this simply because many people are afraid to study the book of Revelation. We even have some members who have said, well, I don't think, Pastor, I'm coming because I've done this before. Okay? And what's amazing is I keep doing it over and over again myself. And every time I do, I learn more. And so it says when the books of Daniel and Revelation are better understood, you have an entirely different experience with God. And so this is about the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Greek word means disclosure of Jesus Christ. Appearing of Jesus Christ. Coming of Jesus Christ. Lightened by Jesus Christ. Manifestation of Jesus Christ. Be revealed of Jesus Christ. That's what it says. So we need to put aside our pre-thinkings, our fears, our anxieties. I went back into history and I looked at the number of church fathers debating whether this was a prophetic book or not. I think I even remember very clearly that Martin Luther said it's a book written by a man who was drunk. And I'm not making fun of Martin Luther, for he did something much more than I've ever done to stand up to the authorities and support the Bible. And so there's a lot of confusion out there about this book. Number two, I want you to notice, verse 3 says, blessed is he who reads, those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Now, let's clarify something very interesting. Are you aware that there are a total of 66 books in our Bible, but there is only one book that promises some kind of special blessing for those who attempt to try and read it and keep the words? The book of Revelation. The only one. So here's a question. Of all the 66 books in the Bible, are highly anointed and inspired by God himself, then why is he making the statement that the book of Revelation is the one book that will cause someone to become blessed in some way? Answer. When God is making this kind of direct statement right at the very beginning of the book, he is trying to tell us something very important, and that something is that he is really wanting us to try to read and assimilate what the last book of the Bible says. And so I'm not going to give one seminar in 13 years and say, we're all done, we've really handled it well. Because that quote specifically says that we must better understand the books of Daniel and Revelation. That means you got to work at it. And remember, the only book that promises a blessing. When we know that all the Bible is the Word of God. There's something special here. It's worth our time and effort. And so please dispel this thought. I've done this before. I've been there, done that. Instead say, Lord, if I miss something the first time, would you show me this second time? Many Christians, including some pastors, are afraid to try and to get into this last book and make an attempt to try and fully understand it. My hope is it's none of us here. Well, let's look at verse 8. Let's move on. I got to get to my testimony here. Verse 8, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Well, now in my Bible, that's in red. How about you? So Jesus is speaking. And Jesus here is calling himself the Almighty. And that word Almighty means omnipotent. He is announcing to us that he is God. This is related to and familiar with John 10:30. I and the Father are one. And let me show you. Not only in the first chapter, verse 8, does it say that. Verse 11 says, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. And not only does 8 and 11 say that in the first chapter, but now you look and you'll find 17 says, I am the first and the last. That adds up in my mind to three times that Jesus makes reference in his testimony specifically designed for us, that he is divine. There are churches that don't believe that. Well, let's look at where Jesus got this, by the way. If we had the time, we'd turn to Isaiah 41:4. Here's what Isaiah 41:4 says. I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last I am he. Sound familiar? But I'm not done yet. We're going to look at Isaiah 44:6. And here's what it says in Isaiah 44:6. I am the first and the last. Besides me, there's no God. Well, I'm not done yet in Isaiah, because there's then verse 48:12. I am he, I am first, and I am also the last. Three times in Isaiah. Three times in Revelation. By the way, that's not correct. In Revelation, it's actually five times. But in chapter 1, three times. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. I'm Almighty. I am divine. The first chapter of the book of Revelation, God is establishing through Jesus, to the angel, to John, to us, that he is divine. And you'll see why this is important. Let's look at verse 9 now. Let's go to verse 9. And by the way, I'm skipping so much. I, John, both your brother and companion in tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. What in the world was John doing on the Isle of Patmos? You know, that's about circumference 23 miles. a small, rocky, barren, desolate island. Used back then by the Romans as a penal colony. Now, I will admit, if you go on the internet, you'll see some discussion, because very little is written about this, but you know that the Romans weren't a kind, loving group of individuals that were thoughtful about their prisoners. Ever hear of Devil's Island? Penal colonies by Britain, France, the United States, and even the Romans, who picked a desolate spot that's confined and surrounded by water to take those that they wanted to get out of their hair, separating them from all support. And the Bible explicitly says that I was in the island of Patmos, and all the commentators agree that this is around 95 A.D. when the Emperor Domitian was persecuting the Christians, put him on that island. Tradition says, by Tertullian, because they tried to boil him in oil and it didn't affect him at all. We got to get rid of this guy. And so this is not a friendly, cozy, warm place that he's at. Well, let's go on. Let's go to verse 10 to 20. We'll tie this all together. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. And then I turned to see the voice that spoke to me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet, girded about with his chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were of fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he that lived and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys to Hades and death. Write these things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. Wow. What a incredible conclusion. First of all, I want to show you that the gift of the vision of the book of Revelation came on the Sabbath day. And yes, you go on the internet and you'll see all kinds of controversy over that. because of the term Lord's Day. But I did my research and discovered that the term Lord's Day applied to Sabbath came like in the 2nd and 3rd century. In the 1st century, the Lord's Day was Sabbath. So that reference by John couldn't be to Sunday. Secondly, I want you to know that they moved him there to separate him from society and from people, an association where he could influence others. And so when he hears this incredible voice, he turns around, and what's the first thing he sees? You got to read your Bible. Well, here's what mine says. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke to me, and having turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands. That's the first thing that John says he saw. This is a vision. This is called an epiphany. An epiphany is the appearance of Jesus himself to John, but when he turned to look, what he saw was the lampstands. And I don't want you to forget that this is a barren, rocky, desolate place. And it says that in the midst of the lampstands was Jesus. And by the way, the description here, he was dressed like the high priest on the Day of Atonement. See, the high priest took off all his beautiful regalia and wore his bonnet that says Holiness to God, and wore his white robe that was underneath. He always wears that underneath. He takes everything else off, and the golden girdle around his waist and his underwear. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest stripped himself of his beauty and glory and went in before the presence of God simply dressed in a white robe with a golden girdle. So this image that John is taking, seeing, is our day. We're in the antithetical Day of Atonement. And by the way, if we were to go to Daniel 5, Daniel 10, verse 5 and 6, listen to what it says. Daniel, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with the gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face was appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and his feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. Daniel also had an epiphany of Jesus. And we are clearly told that this appearance by Jesus in the midst of the lampstand, having 7 stars in his hand, that he has the keys to the grave and to death. No one else has the keys to the grave and the death. And then the very last verse for me, this is where it all came together. The mystery of the 7 stars which you saw in his right hand, the hand of power, and the 7 golden lampstands. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 lampstands which you saw are the 7 churches, and Jesus Christ is in the middle of all the churches and holds the messengers, the stars in his right hand. There's very little controversy at this point about what the stars really mean. The leaders of the church, that could include the pastor, the elders, the deacons, the deaconesses, the Sabbath school teachers. God has you in his right hand. And remember, you're in a barren, rocky, desolate place. You were put there for punishment. You have no recourse because you're surrounded by water full of sharks. And right in the middle of the churches is Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden it hit me. And I said to David and to Michael and to Robert, the first chapter of the book of Revelation was to assure us that no matter what comes next, he is in our midst. We need not be afraid of the prophecies of Revelation. Why? Because the Divine One is in the midst of us. And I'm telling you, I had an entirely different experience after that thought came to me. Now, how many times have I taught the book of Revelation? I don't know, because I've always kind of done it everywhere I've been. Remember, I'm a convert, and converts were brought in on prophecy. And so, friends, I never saw it like this till Monday. That the whole first chapter of Revelation is to assure us that no matter what is coming, he's in our midst. Well, let me review with you what exactly that means. Just a little bit. I'm done. Here it is. He's in the midst of the loveless church called Ephesus. He's in the middle of the persecuted church called Smyrna. He's in the midst of the compromising church, Pergamos. He's in the midst of the corrupt church, Thyatira. He's in the midst of the dead church, Sardis. And he's in the midst of the faithful church. This is Philadelphia. And yes, he's in the midst of the lukewarm church, Paradise. I mean Laodicea. What's he doing there with the dead church? What's he doing there with the loveless church? What's he doing there with the compromising church? What's he doing there with the lukewarm church, the dead church, the corrupt church? Because the church is the apple of God's eye. Jesus is in its midst. This is our hope. This is our joy. This is what is to draw us closer to Jesus, to understand that he is not like we are. In fact, I tried to do some figuring here, and here's what I concluded. You may agree, you may not agree. The worst church of the seven is the lukewarm church. Right? Because you think that you're rich and increased with goods and need nothing, but you don't even know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And so what does the Bible tell us Jesus is doing? Are you going to let me in? And so the first chapter of the book of Revelation is to assure us that no matter what's coming, we're going to be all right. In Testimonies to Minister 114, it says, one thing will certainly be understood from the study of Revelation, that the connection between God and His people is close and decided. Oh, Father in heaven, I want to thank you for the counsel and wisdom helping me to put all this together and see how it really changed my attitude and how I learned something I had never saw before, and I've done it 100 times. And oh, you want so bad to comfort us and to assure us, and we have it right here in Daniel and Revelation. Help us to utilize the many tools you've given so that we can understand it better. Because there are people out there scared to death, and they're also your children. Help each one to make a decision as we close our service to commit our lives to you and serving you so others can know about you too. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.